You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Lorraine Barber Miller.
It is not a marketing veneer. It is not a marketing campaign. It is embedded now in all of our values, our behaviors, how we show up in the world.
Lorraine Barber Miller is an accomplished global chief marketing officer recognized for building businesses and delivering exceptional financial results in both mature and growth markets. Having advanced through the marketing, sales, and communications disciplines both domestically and internationally, she has led marketing transformation and entrepreneurial business building in over 100 countries globally. Currently, as Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer for ADP, Lorraine has global end-to-end functional and financial accountability. In this comprehensive capacity, she is responsible for full client acquisition and lifecycle marketing through all channels, including digital, direct sales, inside sales, alliance partners, and third parties across all products, client segments, and markets. She is also personally leading the first global reinvention of ADP's brand in its 70-year history. Lorraine, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you, Nick. I'm absolutely delighted to be here with you today.
You know, I always think in reading bios, sometimes as you read them aloud, you sort of hear themes in there. And all I can think of with yours is comprehensive, that there's end-to-end, there's a whole lot of responsibility. And that last point of undertaking the first global reinvention for ADP's brand in its 70-year history, I have to start there. That seems like a heavy lift for a brand as historic, as storied as ADP.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And this year we celebrate our 70th anniversary. So Nick, in the year leading up to this anniversary, we took the opportunity to self-reflect and ask ourselves, what are we working for? And the clear underlying truth is that we are always designing for people. We believe that we reimagine the world of work through products, services, and experiences that people love to use every day. And so that truth became the focus of our new rebrand and creative campaign.
You know, I think that anniversary coming up too, I think sometimes that can almost internally be, it can on one hand be a logical time to transition, but there can also be a lot of fear on look how long we've been here. Look how well this works. Is it a time to go rocking the boat? Did you run into any of that?
Well, certainly we also realized as we were asking ourselves, what are we working for? We believe that we also have the responsibility to ask our people that same question, right? As well as clients and workers around the world to hopefully invoke a new conversation about work and what drives people. And so to your point, this particular campaign or rebrand is the next great milestone in the company's evolution. 70 years of innovation, wisdom, our clients' trusts, or the client trust that we enjoy. But it was really time to take that, to evolve, and to really showcase not only our DNA, but also where we were headed as a technology-first company, wanting to evolve and to make a mark on the future of work.
With a brand that as you ask those introspective questions, how do you define the ADP brand, both in the hearts and minds of the customers and the people, the stakeholders that you were just talking about as well?
Yes, it's a great question, Nick. And I will tell you, when we embarked on this, we really wanted to become a purpose-driven company, right? An evolution from a mission and a vision, but now to a purpose. And the way we did that, interestingly, is that we engaged all 58,000 associates around the world to help us co-create our new purpose. It's an enduring truth. We did not invent anything new. It's really about surfacing that truth that is true to our DNA. And so we took our associates along with us in this journey to really extract and define what is inherent and what is true about us. And that's how the new brand platform of Always Designing for People came about. Not only did our associates participate, but as you would appreciate, we did quite a bit of external research with our own clients and prospects in the marketplace to understand what is truly differentiating about us and what the buyer needs, all coming together in this new brand platform of Always Designing for People, and then ultimately coming to life in the creative campaign as we know it, What Are You Hashtag Working For?
I love that. That is, it builds on everything that you just talked about. Plus, I just love the inviting nature of a question, because when someone asks you a question, psychologically, you can't not answer it. So it's a great way to continue that mission that you've had, both in the process of involving everybody, but as you move forward in communicating this with that hashtag as well. That's incredibly compelling.
Well, we believe that it is relevant to anyone who works globally, right? And we also believe that work is about more than just getting paid. So yes, a nod to who we've been, but a question to pose or to spark a conversation in the world in terms of where the world of work is headed. And we believe that based on our profound understanding of the world of work, that we can ask that question, because we all work for a reason, a purpose, an ambition that is beyond just getting paid. And I will tell you, it has really started a beautiful conversation globally with our clients, with prospects, as well as in social media, in terms of what people are working for. And it really causes you to stop and reflect and ask yourself, what am I working for? And of course, the story unfolds through our clients' eyes. The campaign itself features our clients, where they talk about what they're working for. And therefore, we play a role in helping their businesses thrive and allowing them or enabling them to achieve what they're working for. So with the likes of L'Occitane or Magnolia Bakery or Tabasco, Party City, and others, their own employees talk about what they're working for.
I think that's such an interesting level to take all of this to as well. And at the very beginning of that last point, you mentioned that, that it's both acknowledging who you've been, because I think a challenge that many brands, especially B2B brands, feel is, oh, we're just this. I don't know how we can be an innovative brand. We're just payroll. We're just benefits. And I think elevating that question is great, because it's more than just grafting some new idea that's not true to who you are. You're acknowledging that, but building on those higher level questions that draw out those stories that are stories that your clients have and about what you enable them to do. So it's almost like it's finding the bigger story in there.
That's right. And our aspiration in the process was really to transcend the industry. In terms of my aspiration, or what am I working for professionally, is to make ADP a category of one. And when I say that, and as we studied the competitive landscape, Nick, we understood that there was a white space or an opportunity to engage as a B2B brand on an emotional level, in a storytelling format versus talking about ourselves or about our products and services. And while those are ultimately important to the health of our business, the emotional connection to our buyers is ultimately what drives the I'll say the trust, the loyalty, and hopefully allowing us the permission to extend beyond what we've been known for and really be successful in extensions of that portfolio.
That is, I think that is such a good aspiration and a good way to kind of refocus that B2B challenge. I love B2B marketers. I am a B2B marketer, but sometimes there's this pervasive mindset, this kind of woe is me B2B, that we can't appeal to those emotions like you were just talking about. And I think, one, standout brands have to, and two, you just have to work harder to get there, to find what that category of one that you should be sitting in instead of just someone else who does XYZ.
That's right. And I think in B2B, we have a unique opportunity to make the emotional connection. Contrary to popular belief, as you just mentioned, Nick, I actually believe we have a beautiful opportunity to create that emotional connection as B2B companies because the stakes are higher. Right? I mean, making a decision from a B2B perspective has greater implications for an organization versus perhaps a B2C decision. Now, B2C is certainly important to us as well, as you've probably noticed in this rebrand. The question we ask the entire campaign extends down to the worker or employee level. So we have been transforming as a company from B2B to B2B to C. And in order to do that, we need to have a conversation with the actual employee or worker, right? And hence, the conversation not only is to our enterprise clients, but ultimately their own employees, because they will influence their employers in terms of who they partner with and how they perceive our brand and as we transform more to a technology company.
You know, that challenge specifically, I know, will resonate with a lot of folks listening out there, and is another one that is a B2B challenge, but there's opportunity in that, as you've found, of who the real, I mean, we know who the customer is, but when you talk about end users, I think it's so important to find those for that reason that you talked about, that these are the people interacting with your system and your platform. And if the employees who maybe aren't customers, but boy, are they're key influencers in that loop. If they love it, they're going to love it and let your customers know that. And if not, that's true as well.
That's right, because we ultimately aim to help people work smarter, embrace new challenges, and help to unleash their talent in the work that they do. So we do need to appeal to the individual, absolutely. And as we know, both B2B and B2C are starting to converge, where we have the same expectations in our professional lives as we do of brands in our personal lives. So those lines are starting to blur, hence the need for us to extend ourselves beyond the enterprise and to really talk to individuals and deliver personalization at scale.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with 2 A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
You know, we started very, with the comprehensive nature of your role and responsibility, and we embarked on this rebrand where we looked at, you know, kind of the cornerstone of your concept of what you're working toward. To zoom back out and look at your aforementioned responsibility. How do you bring this to life across all of the different, you know, you have global responsibility, you have varied touch points. This is another heavy lift.
Yes. So the way I would describe it, I often say that the character is behavior, and behavior is culture, and culture is brand. And why do I say that? At the heart of every brand are our associates and our employees. They are the ones who ultimately bring your brand to life in terms of the promise, the authenticity, etc. And so we've kept at the center of our work not only our clients, but our own associates, because I believe, Nick, in order for a rebrand to truly embed in an organization and to take hold and to live authentically in the world, our associates are our best brand ambassadors. Hence, we decided to take all 58,000 associates along in this journey. It is not a marketing veneer. It is not a marketing campaign. It is embedded now in all of our values, our behaviors, how we show up in the world. And it's everything from speaking to an associate of ours, to our presence digitally, how we design our products and our services. It's really coming to life in every touch point that a client or a buyer experiences when they interact with ADP.
So how are those values being communicated to all of those associates? Is there, I'm always fascinated, is there a brand storybook? Is there an overview? Was there training? How did that come to be more than a veneer?
Absolutely. I love this, because as we embarked on this journey, knowing full well this is the first ever purpose-driven rebrand of the company in 70 years, by the way, followed by or complemented by the first ever 360-degree campaign, and we have many firsts that we can certainly talk about as well. Nick, we thought it was so important to take our associates along in this journey in terms of there are three steps in this journey: education, inspiration, and reinforcement. What I mean by that is, as we were leading up to the external launch, we did an internal launch, of course, but this was where we spent most or concentrated most of our energy. First and foremost, we taught our associates what our values truly mean. We built out, of course, the brand house with the desired behaviors that let us live our purpose every day, and those values come to life. By the way, those values are enduring. We didn't invent our values. They've existed, right? So those values come to life in our behaviors and bring our pillars, or the reasons to believe why we say what we say is true. We went through an entire education process with our associates in terms of what these mean, how, and we brought associates forward to explain how they're living this through their daily work. That talk series, if you will, that internal sharing continues on, and we are featuring our associates from various parts of the company, as well as geographically. Again, because this is enduring and we haven't invented anything new, it's really bringing to life what we've always known. And so following the education process, as we were launching externally, we sought to inspire our associates and obviously reinforce here post the external launch. Part of the process was to also not only inspire, but to engage our associates. So we launched at South by Southwest. It was an unexpected place for us to be. However, we believe that if we wanted to become a technology company, what better stage or innovation stage in the world to be at? And so while it was unexpected and a risk in some sense, it was an incredible experience for us. We were called the dark horse of South by Southwest, and we were also recognized as one of the top five craziest activations while we were there. And so we can certainly talk about breaking barriers and the activation there, but it's really about showing up in new places, unexpected places, telling emotional stories, and taking our associates through a very proud moment for them, as well as for our own clients who want us to succeed and have given us that permission.
There's a real interesting juxtaposition there in really how you began and ended what you were just talking about, because you started by saying bringing to life what we've a truth that we've always been, something we've always known, mm-hmm. and then juxtaposing that with kind of reforming who we've always been, but that is now showing up in these new and unexpected places like South by Southwest as you sort of transition. You've mentioned this a couple of times, from being the company, the industry that you were, to being a technology company. So you're who you've always been, but it's almost like you're somewhere else now.
Yes. I mean, I think most people would recognize us as formerly a utility, right, that they leveraged that was mission critical for their businesses. However, we want to be much more than that and much more essential to their business. And I believe in order for a brand to make that transition, we need to be brave. We need to be bold as marketers, right? I think we need to tell a story that has never been told before and to truly touch the hearts and minds of our buyers. And that's what we aspire to do when we, at the onset of this work. We could have just remained as a utility. We could have just been very much one of many in our industry. But again, we aspire to become a category of one, and that will certainly take time as we transition. But because of our DNA, our history of innovation, we invented the industry 70 years ago. We believe with that comes a great responsibility to constantly lead and set the agenda. And to do that, you have to be bold and you have to be brave.
Well, it is. You know, I think that those are being bold, being brave are kind of life lessons we hear a lot, but I don't think that we hear them dropped into branding and marketing as much as we should have. And especially on the scale you're talking about, I think that's a necessity given the size and scope of everything. But I think more marketers could stand to be brave, especially if they're in a disrupted industry looking for that kind of category of one that you've been talking about.
That's right. And I think, Nick, as evidenced by the fact that in order to become a technology company and the fact that we employ AI in our products and our services, I also wanted to bring out that modern, that advancement in technology in our marketing and our branding. And we are the first in our industry to tap into the power of AI to overhaul our brand identity. And what I mean by this is that we have leveraged AI around our brand identity and our visualizations. In keeping with the fact that we stand for work and that we represent the invisible world of work. Think of it as connective tissue of data, insights, analytics, and workflow. We created the first ever campaign that is designed by machine learning style transfer techniques, where visual language was used to generate a unique brand video or imagery and identity. And when you look at our visual identity, you'll know what I mean. We've taken videos, we've taken imagery, and we have transformed it through the use of AI. It's important for me that we are consistent and that we fulfill our promise. If we say we are becoming a technology company and we're always designing for people, then we need to be able to leverage those same technologies in our marketing and our advertising to be modern, to be contemporary, and to really be relevant in this new AI-driven world.
I love all of that. And before we go, I do want to get the story of that juxtaposition. I feel like I almost had the first lines of the story in my head. So ADP goes to South by Southwest, and
And we decide to be the sole sponsors of the Future Workplace Track, an opportunity for revelers to engage with us in a very different dialogue with our experts, and yet participate with us in an experiential activation where they had an opportunity to metaphorically break workplace barriers, meaning a smash room where you break one of four barriers, which was incredibly therapeutic and really wonderful engagement for the first time ever with individuals who may not know us or remember us in a more traditional light.
Well, as I'm sure you know, and by design, but have to call out for the folks at home, I love the reinforcement of that visual story of a smash room of literally being able to smash some of these things. And yes, that sounds fun, but I think the strategy nerd in me loves that, because boy, I left that. So many things, especially big activations, it can be a great big carnival. It's crazy. What were they really trying to do there? And I think you walk away from that, you've had the ADP brand imprinted upon you, and you smashed something. you it's pretty clear what it is you're trying to do. And I think that that's a great way to tell that story.
Yes, it was important for us to connect our activation to our brand and what we stand for. We believe that while we've made a lot of progress in the workplace, there are certain barriers that remain, that persist, and we believe that the products and the services, Nick, that we develop for our clients help to further break down those barriers. And so this was really a manifestation, a physical and, an entertaining way to metaphorically break down some of the existing workplace barriers.
That is great. Well, Lorraine, as we start to wrap up here, I have to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
A number of brands make me smile. One that is consistent, I will share with you, Nick, is Chanel. They are enduring. They are very consistent back to their founder, Coco Chanel, right? She built the brand around three main values: chosen, wanted, and be. And in other words, you can say she was aiming to dress the independent women who care about being elegant. And while the brand has able to stay relevant and to reinvent itself over so many years, there is consistency. There is a signature feel and look about the brand, right? I expect elegance. I expect beautiful, enduring, classic designs when I shop at Chanel. And so they continue to make me smile. And really, I think it is a beautiful example of an iconic brand that has not, has not lost its way, but yet actually thrives in who they have been and who they've become.
That is a great story of a brand that's made you smile, and one that I don't know that's been mentioned here before. But I love those values as well. Lorraine, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Very simply, please link in with me on LinkedIn. Quite a bit of our work is published there, and we continue a dialogue on social media. So would love to get acquainted and to share more about the journey we've been on and where we're headed.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to that in our show notes. Lorraine, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much, Nick. It's been my pleasure.
And as a reminder, you can find those show notes, links, and more at onbrandpodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment, rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. For more on me, including how you can sign up for my In Case You Missed It newsletter, please visit nickwestergaard.com. That's Westergaard with two A's. Until next week, I am Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.